Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this program is live on the air right now. We're here to talk about how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. Call now, 1-800-677-9377, and let's talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. That's 1-800-677-9377. Don't wait. Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are yours. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Peter had this to say, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth in disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. And he goes on to write, and this is where this whole passage ties into our subject matter this month of freedom. It says this: these people are springs without water and mist driven by storms, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error, and they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. And so that's a warning that Peter is giving to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who have been set free by the shed blood of Jesus Christ himself. That was the ransom that set us free from the law of sin and death so that we could experience new life in Christ. Now, as we start to gather and assemble and grow in this new life of freedom and learn to experience that more and more, there's going to be false teachers that come in amongst us, and they're going to be spouting off all types of doctrines. And one of the things that they're going to be doing is promising us freedom while they themselves are still in bondage to sin and death. And we have to have discerning minds and discerning spirits to kind of dissect their teaching and see it for what it really is. There are so many people out there who have tasted the freedom that is theirs in Christ, and then they get caught up in this heretical stuff. It sounds good. It promises great things like freedom. But the freedom these guys are promising isn't freedom at all. It is just a return to slavery. Yeah. So we as believers have to have discerning minds. That's why we need to check out everything. And that's what we tell people who listen to this broadcast. Don't believe us simply because we say something. Go into the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard for truth. The Word of God gives us what we need for life and godliness. So we need to trust and rely upon what the Word of God has to say, and we do so with a dependent spirit, a dependent attitude on the Spirit of God to teach us the meaning. So go into the Word of God. Seek out what God is saying to you. That is going to enable you to remain free in Christ Jesus, yeah, and will help you discern all of the false stuff that is going on out in the world today.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk about it, friends. 1-800-677-9377. We have plenty of open lines for you right now, so if you call now, you will get through. 1-800-677-9377. Whatever you want to discuss, this is your best opportunity of the day. Guys, first a question from June, who writes to us from the Salinas area of California. Says, what does 1 Peter 4:1-2 mean? He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, no longer to live out the will of the flesh. Does it talk of God's refinement process, which points us in the right direction, and when we make proper choices? Can you explain this passage of Scripture for me?
Well, it's a wonderful passage, and I love how Peter continues on that vein, and he says, you know, we've lived enough times as lost people. You know, why do we want to keep going back there? I mean, we've had enough of that. It's time to move on and experience this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. And basically, that's what Peter is saying in this particular passage. We need to arm ourselves with an attitude that the old has gone, the new has come. And so when temptation comes knocking on our door, we can just say, hey, I've been there, done that. I've got the T-shirt. You know, I don't want to go back there anymore. I was saved from that. I was rescued from that. And so now I want to go back. Now I want to experience this new life in Christ. I no longer want to live to gratify the desires of the flesh. I want to live for the will of God the Father.
Yeah, so you want to cop an attitude, so to speak.
That's right, a good attitude in regards to this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. So it's a powerful, powerful deal. So when we're suffering, what it's saying is that we aren't giving in to the desires of the flesh. We aren't giving in to the temptations of the world. That's an external pressure that is coming upon us, and we need to not give in to that and say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what suffering means in that context.
Yeah. Well, calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland, and talk to Gary listening to us on Wava. Hi, Gary.
Hi there. How are you doing? I'm enjoying the show. And a few minutes ago, you were all talking about what's going on and the crazy people over there in the Middle East. I served in a Korean War where we believe if you go to war, you win it. You don't go in and say, well, we're going to adjust this for you, put up schools, and we're going to fix every street every time we do something against each street like we're doing in Afghanistan. Our tax money is not for other countries to use their force against us. And we have no right to go into a country and try to tell them how, might as well say, how to live and what to do. Let's face it.
We're having a hard enough time figuring out how we're to live over here, aren't we?
Yeah. Actually, it seems like religion is playing a big part. And I'm from the First Testament, and I told a gentleman the other day, the only reason why Jesus Christ was born from the First Testament, that's all we had then. Now you got to get a rug and pray five times a day and be a religion that who knows what we are. But we are the human race, and we got to start realizing to respect the person. Forget the religion. What's that supposed to do?
Well, I think that's what Jesus would encourage us to do, is to respect
each person.
Well,
why aren't we doing it? It seems like since
Gary, that's the whole issue because there's sin in the world, and Jesus Christ came to rescue us from that. So
that's what we say in the Second Testament. But there's other religions that we are fighting people that aren't our religion, let's use it that way, and I think it's wrong. I appreciate any person walking down the street in the country I live in, as long as they don't bother me. I don't care how they think, who they vote for, as long as they don't pull a gun out and start shooting me or anybody else. And I think we have lost our way to think that we're going to go to war against countries that have a different religion than us.
Yeah.
What right do we have to do that? Did Jesus tell us to do
that?
Well,
Gary, this is, this program, the purpose of this program really isn't to discuss politics, but I certainly appreciate
it. Politics.
Well, certainly.
It is politics.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate Jesus, your passion and all of that. We greatly appreciate you weighing in on that. Well, let's go to Keyport, New Jersey, and talk to Gary listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine. How
I
can
really
we help you today?
I really enjoy your teaching and your ministry. I started listening a few weeks ago, and it was so refreshing to hear just, sound biblical teaching, and, you always know when you hear it, and boy, I'm so thankful for you coming to our area.
Well, thank you. We're really glad to be in the New York area and Washington, D.C., and several other places that we have new audiences. And just to bring a basic gospel message, I think that's what people really need to hear and are longing to hear. They want to strip away all of the complications of religion and that sort of thing and just get down to the bottom line.
That's right. I had a question. The talking in tongues and stuff, I've never understood it. And, I don't see, really the goodness of it towards the Lord. And, I know you probably know about that, and I never do want to discount anything, but, and also, when I see people who promote that and the second baptism of the Holy Spirit. I heard you talking about that. It's hard to listen to any other teaching if they're not really, right on that, right? What are your thoughts on that, if you don't mind?
Well, the gift of tongues, we see it, at the day of Pentecost. We see the apostles speaking, and we see people hearing what they're saying in their native tongue. And
right.
it was an evangelistic gift on that particular day. Why? Because people needed to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those apostles weren't equipped to explain that and express that in all of the languages there. So God gifted them supernaturally, or gifted the hearers supernaturally to hear that gospel message in their native tongue. And
yes.
And 3,000 people were added to the body of Christ that day. So it had an evangelistic nature. It was a known language. It wasn't an unknown language. It was unknown to the speaker,
right.
Known
that's
to
how I, yes.
the hearer. And
okay.
I think we have to realize that that sets a precedent. We want to think in terms of heavenly language or angelic language, and we utter this to God. We have no earthly idea what we're communicating, but somehow we believe we're blessed in that. But I don't see that's how Scripture describes the gift of tongues. I think Scripture is very clear that it is a known language. It's a sign gift to the believer. I think we see it used in a couple other places where probably Gentiles were given the gift of tongues. And I think they were given that gift to confirm to the Jews witnessing what was happening that they too had been given the gift of the Holy Spirit.
But that speaking in a known language then too? Or
I'm sure that it was speaking in a known language.
So the stuff that when I see people talk in tongues or whatever, and it just sounds very strange and definitely not a known language. Is that from God or?
Most of what I've seen, I couldn't say that it's from God. There's no edification for the body of Christ. It's stirred up confusion. I'm just talking about my experiences when I've been involved in that. It was very confusing. It was scary. I mean, quite frankly, it was a scary experience. And so I can't say that's of God. But if somebody's like on a mission field and they encounter somebody and there's a language barrier, God certainly can gift that person supernaturally to explain the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that it penetrates the heart and somebody can be saved. So I see it in those terms, and I think when we do, it all just kind of falls into place.
Yeah, that's kind of how I saw it. It's just it's going on so much. I mean, in the churches and stuff, the Pentecostal churches. So
here's the other thing, Gary, that is an important aspect of this particular issue. It relates to assurance of salvation. So somebody has this gift, quote, has this spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. Well, that becomes, the sign that they're saved. They want to keep that going so they continually are assured that they truly belong to Christ. If that ever stopped, if they ever stopped speaking in tongues, then they would think maybe God has abandoned them and they've lost
their
salvation. So it really gets down to a more important issue. Can we lose our salvation? And what is our assurance? And it is not a sign gift. I can guarantee you that. Our assurance of salvation is the finished work of Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection. And I have seen when people really get that taken care of, drive the stake, and they know that they know that they know that this tongues issue in their life just kind of diminishes. It loses importance. But for so many, it's a security blanket. And you go in and try to rip that security blanket out of their hands, you got a dogfight. But if you can say, hey, here's the real foundation that you need to stand upon, then they'll just let go of it. So I think that's the big issue.
Well, you know, thanks for sharing that, and thanks for your great teaching. And I've been praying that God would bless you, and he has been, and I'm excited that you're in the area.
Well, thanks, Gary. We certainly appreciate hearing from you today. It means a lot to us. God bless,
thanks,
my friend.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
This is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We have time on the clock and open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Bob and Richard, you know, we want to let our listeners know that our newest product is Gateway to Grace. It addresses the issue we all sometimes experience, that of kind of just going through the motions every day. The fact is that we can break free of fear and guilt, and you can find out much more about it through Gateway to Grace. Let the powerful truth discussed in the series swing open the door to a life of freedom and genuine love for God, and for others, as a matter of fact. Gateway to Grace can offer you a very clear path, and for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel during this month, we'll send you this excellent resource. For you, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Well, again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Kind of an interesting question from Denise, guys. She says, passive-aggressive adults are experts at getting others to act out their hidden anger. What scriptures would you suggest in dealing with a person who is passive-aggressive?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting question on several different levels. One, we're always looking for that one verse that we can share with somebody that will change them. And that's not really how Scripture works. The Bible is a story about Jesus. It is unfolding from start to finish, and we get signs and clues of it in the Old Testament, and then Jesus comes on the scene, and all of those Old Testament prophecies we see are fulfilled in him, and then he does his work and his death, burial, and resurrection, and then he invites us to participate in that story. And we do, our hearts respond by faith, we are rescued, we are saved, we go from death to life, and now we start learning how to live as believers. And it's that new life is in a big, huge context of what faith is in Jesus, learning how to abide in him. So it's a process. So there's not one simple verse. And in a situation like this, I would simply say, in conversation, find out what a person understands about the gospel. What is their understanding? What does it mean to be saved? What does this new life in Christ look like? You know, we all have different ideas. We all have different opinions. Most of those ideas and opinions aren't grounded in anything. It's just what we think. But the Word of God has some very clear-cut truths about this Christian life, how it is to be lived by faith in Jesus Christ. And I think you point somebody to that overall picture and let them grab a hold of that. And once they do, I think, you know, the passive-aggressive behaviors can start to be transformed by the very love and grace of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just pushed out.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, any other approach to that is only going to feed the passive-aggressive behavior or any other behavior you're trying to get rid of, because you find a way to turn it to save yourself, because all of these attitudes that we suffer with are based in selfishness and fear. And Jesus and his perfect love drives out that fear, drives out that selfishness, and now you can be transparent. You can say what you mean and mean what you say, and it's a different way of living.
Sure.
That's exactly right. Well, let's go to Vivian, listening to us in New York on WMCA. Hi, Vivian.
Hi.
Welcome. How can we help you today?
Oh, thank you. I would like you to explain for me Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and 2.
Well, it's a pretty stern warning, isn't it?
Yes.
The prophet is giving a direct word to those who shepherd the flock of God. So it would be a message to the priests, to the Levitical priesthood. And what was happening during the days of Jeremiah is that the people were being turned away from the one true God to worship idols. And that was always the problem with Israel. And so he's giving a very stern warning to those that were supposed to be turning the people's hearts toward God. And rather than doing that, they were turning them away from God. He was giving them a warning, saying, hey, this isn't going to last forever. God is going to intervene, and he is going to do something to bring the hearts of the people back to the one true God.
Oh, okay. I was a bit like concerned. I didn't know exactly what these two verses meant. So I'm glad I got that corrected. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and here's the great news about this particular passage. It says, woe to you shepherds. Now, Jesus Christ came on the scene and he said, I am the good shepherd. He's the one that is going to turn our hearts to the one true God. He's the one that is going to protect us and care for us. So now our dependency is upon him and him alone. So they were foreshadowing what was going to become a reality in Christ. These folks were supposed to shepherd the flock, but now Jesus is that shepherd, and we can find full assurance in him. That's good news, isn't it, Vivian?
Yes, it is good news, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it. God bless. Let's go to Newark, New Jersey, and talk with Moses, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Moses.
How's it going? God bless all the listeners out there. Real quickly, I just wanted to comment on the subject that the brother had brought up about speaking in tongues. I think we have to be careful about those things because, you know, anything a person speaks against the Holy Spirit, that's constituted as blasphemy. But real quickly, I think that you gloss over the fact that Paul speaks in the book of Corinthians that, you know, tongues are not only, you know, speaking in different languages, but also speaking in angelic tongues. I think you glossed over that fact.
Well, Moses, Moses, I didn't gloss over it. I've studied this for about 30 years, and I've been asked this question about 100 times. You know, God's language is a language of love, and that is the most excellent way. And that's what's important. Not the fact that we may have an angelic language or that sort of thing. You can speak in any language, and if you don't have love, you have absolutely nothing. And so that is the real issue, Moses, and that's why sandwiched between those chapters on spiritual gifts is the definition of love. And we need to know that that's the most excellent way. If there's a language that God wants us to speak, that's the language. And that language can be spoken in both word and deed. We speak the love of God when we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We act the love of God when we allow his love to control us in our decisions and behaviors toward one another. So that is the important aspect. Moses, we certainly appreciate you weighing in on today's broadcast. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And Bob and Richard, we know that many of our listeners are in the commute right now at this particular time of the afternoon. So if you can't get to a phone or can't effectively use one during your commute, we'd love to have your questions posed by email. Simply go to basicgospel.net and shoot that to us. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition of Basic Gospel. Well, friends, we're just about out of time, and thanks to all of those of you who support Basic Gospel to keep us on the air live each day with this liberating truth. To show our appreciation for your generous gift this month, we will send you our newest CD series called Gateway to Grace, 6 messages and a study guide to help you see the truth about our religious traditionalism and open the door for you to experience God's love and grace and how it can impact your life every day. For a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, we'll send you this excellent resource. To order, go online to basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with Billy for your copy of Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Again, 1-800-727-2828. Also at Basic Gospel, we like social media. We hope you do too. We hope you'll also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. That's at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the staff at Basic Gospel, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.